The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Wilmore's finest, Monte Hill, the pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher, Boy Shasky.
Take
him out! You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby. Good morning to everybody out there on the Tuesday morning. Shout out to everybody on YouTube. We love you on YouTube, even though the chat's not up working. I know the chat would have had a day yesterday. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union for a low rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. Good morning to everybody out there. Get off the graveyard shift. If you're at work, what is happening? If you're getting ready for work, what is happening? All the overnight dancers, we love you. 888-957-9570 is the number. We got a lot to get into with Kyle Shanahan. The 49ers, the Golden State Warriors are back on the floor tonight. We'll recap Monday Night Football. Some breaking news here in the NFL. Shasky, Azeez Al-Shaair, former linebacker of the 49ers, now with the Houston Texans, suspended for 3 games for a hit on Trevor Lawrence. As Trevor Lawrence was sliding, and Al-Shaair couldn't stop himself, so he says. And it's really hard for a defender, so he's suspended for 3 games. A lot going on in the world of sports, man. Lakers get blown out yesterday. That's always a good time. Sam Lubman's back, so we get the rip on him in the Miami Hurricanes as he's trying to act like it doesn't bother him. Oh, it bothers him. When your team blows a 21-0 lead for a chance to go to the college football playoff and the conference championship, oh, it's going to bother you all season long. You can lie to yourself. You can look in the mirror and say, yeah, I don't care. I knew it was coming. You didn't know it was coming. let it burn, baby. Let it burn.
Good morning. Let's get into this hit real quick. Al-Shaair's hit. You know, I just think the average fan, I'm not sure they comprehend the speed at which the game is played at, or any of these games are played at. And I mean, maybe they think they know, but when you're standing there on the field and you're like the same height, field level, if you will, and you're watching, the decisions are made so quick, and to slow up and to ease up, it's so difficult. I'm not here to exonerate Al-Shaair. That's not what I'm doing. Because he gave him what I call the woofer. You know, it was the forearm part of it.
Yeah.
And then I do believe we've gotten into a reactionary part of society where we look at the highlight, or in this case, you know, the replay, over and over and over, and we adjudicate it based on the level of injury and what it looks like,
right,
as opposed to, like, come on, man, it's tough. I'm not saying that he shouldn't be suspended. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be up in arms. Yes, it was a violent hit. Absolutely. I just think it's really hard to play defense. And when you have a guy like for example, Patrick Mahomes, faking going out of bounds or faking giving himself up, which he's done time and time again, only to stand up and then tiptoe down the line and get an extra 10, 15 yards. I just... I don't know. I have a little more empathy for the defense in these situations than the average person. Maybe I'm standing alone on an island here. I think it's so hard, man. And I just, you know, when you're about to wrap somebody up or you're trying to lay a hit on a guy, Trevor Lawrence, 6'6", 6'5", he's a big boy. And you want to give him a little piece of your, you know, something. You play the game to hit the quarterback at the core of the sport. I just think it's so hard, and I know they have to do this to protect quarterbacks, because I would want my quarterback protected, and I know I'm kind of a hypocrite when I'm bringing up all these different angles and I'm playing all sides of the fence here. I just think it's so difficult.
Yeah, Al Shaair, I'm looking at the replay here of a Bears game where he basically gave a forearm to somebody's helmet, and Adam Schefter just tweeted out as a factor in his 3-game suspension. The NFL noted that Texans linebacker Azeez Al-Shaair has had multiple offenses for personal fouls and sportsmanship-related rules violations in recent seasons. When he was with the Niners, he actually went in on Tom Brady, tried to chop him in the throat. It was pretty. You saw that?
Yes.
Yeah, it was like, whoa. So I didn't know Al-Shaair. Seems like a good dude. Seems like he tries to play the right way. He's got a little dirtiness to him at the linebacker position. Kind of reminds me of the safety who I didn't even realize was coaching. I forgot where I saw him coaching at. He's like an assistant. Ooh. But Chuck Cecil. The old safety.
That's
of the
a name.
Dude, in Phoenix That's Cardinals, Arizona Cardinals. Yeah, you like that?
I do.
He was as dirty as they come. And if you ran over the middle of the field, think of Rodney Harrison, who's a Hall of Famer. But you know what? Kind of dirty, right?
Okay. All of our favorite players. Like, this is the... Okay, I grew up with the hit tapes. You know what I'm talking about, the hit tapes. The VHS tapes where they would show explosion hits. And then my favorite players. And I'm just... This is me, okay? People can disagree. I don't watch for just fantasy football. I used to love the game for the Bernard Pollards.
Right.
For the Dante Whitners. Because the Hitman was one of my favorites. Yep. Deshaun Goldson would destroy someone.
No doubt.
And I loved the Hawk. And when he would do, like, the...
Oh, yeah.
The stand-up thing, like Tim McDonald was laying fools out. John Lynch cut his teeth laying fools out. You know, so there's a level of physicality that I appreciate about the NFL. So maybe I'm the dodo bird. Maybe I'm an extinct kind of a viewer.
No. Just stop isolating yourself, because I think everybody loves hard hitting. That's what makes football so great. We love the hard hits. I remember Ryan Clark popping Willis McGahee in the AFC Championship game, one of the most violent, brutal hits in the history of the NFL. I loved it, because you need tone setters. That's what you do on defense. That's
exactly
what you're taught to do. You want to make sure you lay the pain and let people know that, hey, it's not going to be that day. If you're running this way, you're going to get popped, so you're going to think twice about it. We're going to make this receiver think twice about running a quick
slant
at 100 miles an hour. But D'Amico Ryan said something. We're pulling this out in just a second. You have it here? Do you have the highlight of the hit first? Get the highlight of the hit, because I want to play the hit. Daryl Johnston was livid about
the Moose Man?
The Moose Man, who's now like on the D team of Fox. I don't know why. He's a really good announcer or a really good color commentator.
Because we've got 7,000 Cowboys doing broadcasts.
Well, he's one of them.
Yeah, no, I know.
He's one of them. I mean, you know, by the way, I thought Brady took a step back on Thanksgiving night.
Oh, I didn't think he was that bad.
Dallas. Greg.
That was a bad game, though.
Greg Olsen's so much better. It's not even funny.
Well, Greg Olsen's really good, and he's had a couple of years of experience.
Brady,
he's better.
Brady was, you know, he was talking about Daniel Jones, and, you know, I get Daniel Jones wanting to be released. I mean, Brady, it's easy for him to say, yeah, you got to stick it through. That organization's a mess. I don't mind Daniel Jones tapping out on that one.
But Daniel Jones, to defend it, what you're talking about is that basically Daniel Jones, didn't want to stay with the New York Giants, and he asked for his release. They refused to allow him to play on practice squads because they didn't want him to get hurt because there's an injury clause.
Mm-hmm, no doubt.
And I think that Brady was misinformed regarding the Daniel Jones situation, and I think he was talking out of turn on that one, and he was wrong.
It was a little wild. Steve Atwater is another one.
Ask Love Steve Atwater.
About him. All right, we have the play. Here's the play. Azeez Al-Shaair. The hit on Trevor Lawrence Sunday as the Texans beat the Jaguars.
Another flag has come down with the activities on the bench, but the bigger concern right now is what's going on with Trevor Lawrence. A brutal hit from Azeez Al-Shaair.
It's everything you're not supposed to do. Everything. You'll see this in slow motion, and Azeez Al-Shaair does everything you're trying to prevent in this situation. It's reckless. It's disrespectful. There's an honor that you give to your opponent on the football field. And you respect him. And there's opportunities to be physical and give big hits and play this game in that manner. And there's other times when there's a respect that you grant to your opponent. And especially in the situation with Trevor Lawrence and that shoulder injury.
D'Amico Ryan's out there now saying to Aziz Alshire, get to the sideline.
Get to the sideline so you can go up the tunnel and get off the field.
So it became a brawl as he's walking to the tunnel. There was more chatter, both sidelines. Now, this is an NFC rivalry game. And D'Amico, after the game, you know, he defended, he prayers up for Trevor Lawrence. But yesterday, here's what D'Amico said about the play.
And behind Aziz and everything, you know, that came from that. Of course, he unfortunately hit on the quarterback. But it's also, it's twofold, right? I mean, a lot of the quarterbacks in this day and age, they try to take advantage of the rule where they slide late and they try to get an extra yard. And now you're a defender. A lot of onus is on the defender, right? Whether it's on the sideline or where it's on the quarterback, you don't know what a guy's thinking. You don't know if a guy's standing up and he's continuing to run. You don't know. And then you get a late slide and you hit the guy. Unfortunately that Trevor got hurt. We want to hope Trevor is okay. But it's also, if we're sliding, we have to get down. If we're getting out of bounds, we get out of bounds. And that rule is there to protect the quarterbacks. And we want our quarterbacks to be safe in the league. So we just have to be safe. If we're sliding, make sure we're keeping our heads down. So, and the entire thing is, you know, Aziz hits the guy, but their sideline overreacts, and it turns out and turns into a melee. It wasn't our guys. It's their team overreacted, pushed our guy, dragging our guy to the sideline. So that's uncalled for on that side. We have to be better on the sidelines as well.
So that's D'Amico Ryans, and you're talking about the speed of the game. I thought I knew the speed of the game, and for the first time I went down on the sideline at the Oakland Coliseum. It was a Raider-Jet game.
Yeah.
Geno Smith actually was playing quarterback for the Jets. And I think it was D'Amico Autry. It could be wrong. But it was the fourth quarter, last 5 minutes of the game. And at the time, the NFL media will let you go down so you could go to the presser, especially at the Coliseum. And Geno got hit. And I was on the sideline. And I said, that hurt my ribs.
Yeah.
And the speed that the game was being played at. I said, yeah. You know, we used to always joke in the street, be like, oh, man, would you be able to play 10 plays in the NFL for $10 million? No. Like, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no. Could you score 10 in an NBA game for $5 million against the likes of Kobe or LeBron? Yeah. Like, yeah, I could do that. No, you can't. You can't play 5 snaps in the NFL. These guys are gladiators. Who knows what the hell they're on in terms of performance enhancing and all the weight training and whatnot. Guys got 8 packs. Guys are rocked out of their minds. Geno took a hit so bad you could hear from the sideline, ooh, ooh, and I was like, oh my gosh. The speed that the game is played at. So to ask a defender like Aziz Alshire, look, the forearm is nasty, right? You don't like to see the forearm
bad,
to the helmet.
Yes.
It looks bad.
It looks
bad. But when you're in real time and you're pursuing
that's
the football,
what I'm saying.
And Trevor Lawrence at the last second is like, oh, I'm going to dive. Or if it's anybody, and prayers up to Trevor Lawrence. I hope he's okay because he went down like Tua did in that Buffalo game this past on Thursday Night Football earlier this season when he was,
defenseless.
You slide late trying to get an extra yard, and you got a linebacker who's running 100 miles an hour. So what if he does come up and try to stop? He may pull a hamstring. Something may pop. Who knows? It is tough to hold up. So D'Amico's kind of right. It is twofold.
Well, I agree. And so the reaction of the players, very quickly, I actually loved how Evan Engram defended his quarterback.
No, you should do that.
I loved it. And I understand their point of view. And again, if I was a Jaguar fan, I would feel the way they feel. Yep. But at the same time, I think it's a lot more difficult than we want to admit. Last year, DeAndre Swift got hit over the middle by D'Amino Lenore at the end of the Eagle game. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I do. He got cracked.
He got destroyed. Niner fans celebrated it. And it's an unfortunate play. But he is a blind receiver coming across the middle. It's a bad pass by Jalen Hurts. Brady's talked about this. Like, back in his era, if he threw over the middle and laid a guy out, he felt awful. Horrible. He could ruin a guy's career. Yep,
no doubt.
And that's just, it's not to the level that it once was, and that's great because guys are having longevity and third and fourth contracts and all that. But at the same time, I just think it's really difficult to play defense.
No, especially today's
on a moving target. I wrestle with my son every day. He's 1 year old. 1 year old, okay? He does moves, and he moves, right. And sometimes you accidentally hit him in a spot you don't want to because you're wrestling and you're having right. fun. Imagine 6'6", pro athlete Trevor Lawrence, okay, coming down on you as a moving target. You're flying. You want to make sure you get low. And yeah, Al Shaair should be suspended if it's body of work related and he has right. a ton of and offenses and the resume is overcomprehensive. I get it. But at the same time, can we all acknowledge there's a gray area here? And I just think it's a lot harder to play defense in the NFL when a lot of quarterbacks fake the go down. And I think it's tough. How many times have the Niners failed to bring down a running quarterback this year?
I mean, it happens all the time. But I talk to coaches all the time.
Yeah, what do they say?
On the side, defensive coaches. It's tough. I mean, look, I played football for 5 years. No, I didn't play at a high level. I stopped at high school. My high school senior year, we won Checkery Day, and that was the last game I ever played. So I didn't play college football. But being around a lot of guys who did play college football and now are coaching in college football, a lot of guys at CSM or grew up with, a lot of guys at City, you know, talking to Larry Grant over the weekend. You're playing defense. You're trained to not only tackle, but to send a message when you tackle.
Exactly.
Not hurt somebody, but hey, let them know it's going to be a long day if you run up this gap.
I'm trying to separate you from the ball. That's the job of a line, especially a linebacker.
And it's a quarterback. We got the famous Al Davis quote. The quarterback must go down, he must go down hard. So 100%. When the quarterback leaves a pocket, it's fair game. But Trevor Lawrence, he's sliding. And Al Shaair, look, he'll be better at it. You got to hold up. But what's going to happen the next time somebody fake slides and tries to get 10 more yards?
Exactly.
Could cost you a football game. Could cost you a first down. Could cost you a job on the football team, for crying out loud. So, look, it's an unfortunate situation. You hope that Trevor Lawrence, and just thinking about Trevor Lawrence and the season that he's had, he signs a big fat extension. He's got multiple injuries to shoulder. He's got leg problems. He's got a concussion now. He may not play the rest of the season. And I think Trevor can still be salvageable. But he's probably going to go to the offseason having a new offensive coordinator for the third time, a new head coach for the third time, and now he's got to shake this head off, and he's got to think about this all the time. So a lot of people are going to freak out about this, but I hear what D'Amico Ryans is saying. It is twofold, and he's a former linebacker, so he knows.
Absolutely, he knows, and I think this is a gray area, B, and it's one of the rare times in sports where I see all sides of it, but I just think that we're ready to throw Al Shaair out of the league, and it's kind of like, come on, you guys. What are we doing?
That's the hyperbolic nature of the internet. Exactly. I don't really pay attention
to that. And quite frankly, there's been times this year the Niners have missed Dre Greenlaw's intensity, which is very comparable to what Al Shaair plays like.
Who do you think Al Shaair learned it from?
Exactly.
He's here with D'Amico next to Dre Greenlaw and Fred Warner. You don't think they teach some nasty out there? Come on now. I want to hear the hit real quick. You want to hear this hit? Let's hear the hit.
No doubt that Trevor represents them well. That'll be Al Shaair, who's flagged for the big hit on the slide, and that's going to start a little bit of a scrum afterwards as the Jaguars come in to protect their QB.
Wow. You can hear the crowd. Oh, you hear the announcers right away.
Now, that being said, I truly acknowledge my own contradiction. Had that happened to Purdy, I'd be really ticked.
Yeah, of course you would.
I admit it. I freely admit it. But it's also part of the game. It's like throwing up and in baseball. It's like a hard foul at the rim. Like these things do happen.
We have to break right now, right this second. Yes.
Like 30 seconds.
Okay. On the other side, I see Daryl Johnson ripped into. Is it Guru who ripped into him?
No, Daryl Moose Johnston.
I saw Daryl Johnson. I was like, wait
a minute.
Guru doesn't sound
Daryl
like
the
Guru
Johnson ripped into Daryl Moose Johnson.
Oh, it's Moose Johnson.
No way.
Daryl on Daryl Crime.
Daryl Johnson ripped into Aziz Al Shaair. So my eyes lit up because I was like, what the hell did Guru have to say about this?
I'm out.
But no, it's Daryl Johnson. We just missed
it. It bothers him.
Yeah,
sports, man.
Dude, when he hit the Twitter timeline with sports, man, I swear to God I was dying.
You hit that win.
Over the weekend, I sent it to the group thread. It was like
sports, man.
It was an incoherent tweet that at the end said sports, man.
Incoherent? What was the tweet?
I couldn't even read it. Something about C-Mac. I don't even know.
All right, more coming up.
Slap me for what I'm doing.
Safeway.
Injuries from the game. Kevin Givens did have a torn pec.
end up going to IR. Christian McCaffrey was a PCL. Shouldn't need surgery, but still about a six-week recovery, so he'll be going to IR also. And the surprise one from the game was JP Mason. Ended up having a high ankle sprain, so he's going to have to go to IR most likely also.
Hey, it's Verducci from EDH, and you're listening to the Morning Roast with Bonte and Chassie on 95.7 The Game. Sprinkle me, man.
Boy, we're going to talk to Baldy at 7:30, Dr. Brian Feely at 8:30 about these injuries. As all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line, isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? And you heard from Kyle Shanahan yesterday, and you know, he started talking about Trent Williams, and he was very choked up about that. You saw a statement about Trent Williams, and this team's been through a lot, man. What a tough season for the 49ers. On the field, off the field, it's been a disaster, to say the least. It has been. Now, Christian McCaffrey, Shanahan mentioned he may not need surgery. He's not going to need surgery, but he's done for the season. PCL injury, he's done. I'm going to talk to Dr. Brian Feely about what this means for Christian McCaffrey, if it's connected to the Achilles. And then Jordan Mason out of nowhere. He's on IR. So now we're going to see a lot of Isaac Grindel, Patrick Taylor Jr., and somebody the Niners will call in. Maybe it's Keyshawn Vaughn. I'm not even sure if he's still on the practice squad or not. I got to check out the practice squad. But the Niners are just dropping like flies. I'm having my doubts that we're going to see Drake Greenlaw. I'm having my doubts that we see Nick Bosa again. I'm having my doubts that we'll see Trent Williams again this season. So as you get ready for the Chicago Bears and that good defense over there, they're going to come in here with Caleb Williams and try to prove something. Top two running backs, gone, just like that. Top wide receiver, gone, just like that. Who's next?
Here's what I don't want to hear today. Well, you're only two games out of first place.
Yeah.
Because you know what you are? You're one game out of a top 10 pick, and you're two games out of a top 5 pick. So if you want to play that game, we can play that game in the complete opposite direction.
Well, no, I think that game is done now.
You think it is?
Well, I know it is because I didn't mention it once yesterday, and I usually play that game. It's a game I like to play. But
I'm familiar honestly, with your game.
Honestly, once they lost to Seattle, you can kind of see the running. Yeah, it was a wrap. When Geno Smith went night-night on you. Oh, who was I talking to yesterday? Oh, Carter. Carter, he was in for Lubman yesterday doing a great job.
A great job. I mean, tremendous job.
I was like, wow.
A lot of great work being done.
Wow, great job. Wonder why. Miami lost to Syracuse, that's why. I don't even know if that made sense, but they blew a 21-0 lead on Saturday in the carrier towel.
So you were talking to Carter.
I was talking
Geno
to Carter.
Smith.
Oh, yeah. Walked off the field at Levi Stadium like he was Joe Namath.
Yeah.
And that's the moment where I said, yeah, it may not work out for the 49ers this year. Now, you got to play it up a little bit.
Well, yeah, TV Bonte made an appearance.
Yeah, it made an appearance. You say, one game out. Look, they lost to Green Bay. Everybody in the division lost, so you still had hope. But you knew going to Buffalo was going to be tough sledding. No pun intended. And they got beat up in the snow, so you look at the depth chart of the running back room, I'm looking at our ledge right now. It's Isaac Grindel and nobody else. Now, you look at the practice squad, there's Patrick Taylor Jr.
Uh-huh.
Is there another running back here? Nope, there's no other running backs on the practice squad. No other running backs. So they'll probably sign one off the street today. They'll bring somebody in on a Tuesday, work them out, have them as an emergency running
back. Bring Frank Gore Jr. in.
Yeah, why not?
I mean, dead serious.
He's on the Buffalo Bills practice squad, right?
Yeah, just bring him in. Bring him in.
You know what? That's actually not a bad idea.
I'm dead serious
on
that.
You'll get some fans to go to the game.
I mean, just like, what do we got to lose?
Because aren't you thinking now about like
Patrick Taylor Jr.? Well, he knows the scheme. Dog, what's the scheme? Like, this thing about the scheme, I'm just so sick. Like, he knows. Brandon Allen knows the scheme. You know, that's what. He's got an advantage. He's been in the system. He knows the scheme.
He's got such an advantage.
Shut up with the scheme.
He's got such an advantage
that
he was inactive on Sunday. And John Salva was already elevated to the number two spot in the quarterback pecking order.
Bonte, you know who else is available right now as a free agent?
On second and five, this is Eno Benjamin. A little hop step. And oh, he trucked Drake Kirkpatrick and takes it in for the touchdown.
Didn't Eno Benjamin retire?
He's out there. He's a free agent.
Too short, man. He can't stay away.
Let me see. He was with the Saints August 5th, 2023, it was announced that Benjamin has suffered a ruptured Achilles tendon in practice for this entirety of 2023. Ouch. So he may be ready to go now.
Yeah, now he might be good.
He might be ready to go. Can he run his own scheme?
Hey, Bonte.
Scheme? Can he run his own scheme?
Speaking of scheme, there's some people in Philadelphia that love to scheme on us.
Oh, the Crossing Broad. Yeah, I ran across to somebody and was like, hey, you guys got mentioned in an article.
What is Crossing Broad for those that are listening
It's a Philadelphia Eagles blogger site.
Okay.
The block site for the Philadelphia Eagles.
And I'm reading the headline right now.
All right.
From your boy, Kevin Kincaid. I don't know who that is. But basically it says, you've got to be a sick individual if you're enjoying the 49ers' downfall. And then there's a photo of Kevin Durant in a hospital bed.
That was after the Raptor series.
I gotta laugh, but here it goes. They're basically ripping. So, circumstances being what they are, the 49ers were plus 600 over the summer to win the Super Bowl. Blah, 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 blah. They still got to play the Cardinals. The door is wide open for them to not make the playoffs. On one hand, you feel bad for 49ers supporters because they were so close last year. Then you remind yourself that they're a terrible fan base that likes to fight and stab, not just opposing fans, but each other. And here's my favorite line of the whole article. Throw in Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky ripping Philadelphia and Eagle fans, and Debo Samuel for talking poop for a year straight. Throw in Nick Bosa accusing Philadelphia of planning construction outside of the hotel, and D'Amador Lenore for mixing it up with Eagles fans after the Super Bowl loss. And he just goes on, if you're enjoying the 49ers downfall and that makes you a sick individual, well, I'm the leper from Kingdom of Heaven.
Oh, good stuff.
The downfall is near, and it's coming hard.
You know, I take this as a badge of honor.
Well, I do, too.
Years later, they're still chirping our names.
Well, you know what's funny?
I love it.
Well, you know what's funny? Not only that article, because I was like, oh, this is cute. They still got us on their brains, right? Jason Dumas, I'm on his close friends list on Instagram, and he's talking. He's talking that talk now that he's back in Philly.
Of course.
And I said, oh, I see you.
What's he talking?
I see
you. What's he saying?
I'm a bust Dumas out. I love you, Dumas.
He's talking about Joel Embiid and Paul George.
Yeah, he ain't going to talk about that right now. Philly doesn't talk about losers. They stay away from that. They're kind of front runners. They are front runners. So he goes, here it is right here. He shared a text thread that he was having with somebody. Eagles win, Niners down 21-3 at the half. Debo, no stats. This is what heroin feels like. Oh, and then he goes, today's my son's third grade. You know what he asked me? Who has more Super Bowls, Eagles or Niners?
Oh.
And then he goes, throwing on the Bill Walsh era highlight reel. I don't know who he's talking to there, but he had never enjoyed watching the Chiefs struggle more than them. That's Dumas right there. And he goes, bro, can't stand him.
Fonte.
So, you know what? It's all good.
I love Jason, and I'm going to say this on these airwaves. I say we revoke his Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame vote and give it to me.
Oh, of course.
That's all.
Of course. That's what it comes down.
Return the keys to the city.
Holding on to that for 3 years.
I ended up being right.
3 years. 3 years.
It bothers me.
It does bother me.
But you know what, though?
I was going to play all 82 games like LeBron, and now I'm reconsidering.
And now Philadelphia. You better win a Super Bowl, because just like Sam Lovin knows from this morning, you don't win it all at the talk of that talk. I will come out of the cuts lurking. I
like the Kool-Aid man. He'll come flying through the wall, ready to hit the hater.
Oh, baby.
You know, listen. I will sit here.
Oh, baby.
I'm not going to sit here in week number, what is this, week 13, 14, 15? I'm not going to say nothing this week. I'm not going to say nothing next week. I'm not going to say nothing. I'm just going to talk about the Niners.
I'm not going
to sugarcoat. I'm not going to do a sugarcoat job. But when you lose.
Oh, we'll be out here.
Oh, I'll be out here.
Like Chris Tucker with Debo, you know, like Smokey says, like, the minute Debo gone, I'd be talking again.
All right. To best running backs available right now, apparently.
Give it to me.
The Tay Train, Latavius Murray. You want the Tay Train?
Raider legend. What was he called?
The Tay Train.
No, there was another one. He had another
nickname.
Pocket
Rocket Jalen Rashad.
No, but I thought Latavius, this is the dawning of the age of Latarius. I think Greg Papa did that one time. One of his many horrible bits.
No, he's got some great bits. Relax.
Ayuk.
You want to talk about Bay Area Hall of Famer.
On fire.
That guy's a Hall of Famer. Jerick McKinnon is available. The Jet.
That's your boy.
Paper airplane.
We can get him and Kirk Cousins, Kirk could throw paper airplane like outs to him, and he could drop them.
But you know what?
Jet.
He does have a Super Bowl.
I hate him.
Melvin Gordon, Wisconsin Badger, former Charger, and Bronco.
He'll fumble the flight on the way over here.
He's always available in fantasy if you want 3.1 points.
Now I think Love is trolling me. Alex Arma, who the hell is that?
I have no idea.
I play fantasy football. I don't even know who that is.
I don't even know.
Ito Benjamin?
Fonte, I started a guy this week. I'm down so bad. I started a guy I'd never heard of him before.
Who?
I'm going to give it to you right here.
Giovanni Ritchie?
Who is that?
Dwayne McBride?
Come on.
Cheetah. Matt Breed is available.
Kimani Vidal for the Chargers. I started this week. Oh, my God.
James Robinson.
He's the 84th ranked running back. That's how bad it is in our league.
That's how bad your team is. James Robinson.
Everyone's hurt.
James Robinson. No, your team's just bad. I'm looking at playoffs in at least four of my leagues. James Robinson. Isaiah Spiller.
Spiller, the only Spiller I recognize is CJ from Clemson. Always available in fantasy as
underwhelming,
well.
Underwhelming NFL career. All right, Lucky in San Francisco. He's got a concern that we have to get to. He's concerned about something as we get deeper into the Niners.
It's too much.
They're 5-7 right now. They hold the 14th pick in the NFL draft. There's a three-way tie for the number one pick in the NFL draft. Jacksonville, Las Vegas, and the New York Giants. How about the Jaguars get the number one pick? You know they don't need a quarterback. Oh, look, it's fidelity.
But what if they want to trade Trevor?
In that contract? Would you be interested in Trevor?
I wonder what teams would be.
You?
Let me mull that over on the break.
You are, man, you are flippity floppity. You know what I'm getting you for Christmas? Hey, Anna, cancel the Christmas order. We're getting Shasky flip-flops. That's coming up, brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises.
What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me no more. Baby, don't hurt me.
If you love Philadelphia, there's a high probability that you hate these two. It's the Morning Roast with Vontae Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game. Love you guys. Most of the time.
Well, Kate Scott can't be doing too well. You see the Sixers record?
What, like 3-12?
I've lost count.
Pull it up here.
How many games has Paul George played? They're 4-14.
4-14. I was
4-14.
Close.
4-14. 4-14. They did get a big win against the Pistons the other day. 111-96.
That's a big win.
Huge win. Tyrese Maxey, 28 points.
Cade Cunningham and them boys.
Paul George, 4-12, 11 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists. Kelly Oubre Jr., our good friend, 14.6 rebounds. But I guess, you know, if they have the Philadelphia Eagles, and, you know, there's no denying the Eagles are playing well. They're playing really good football. 8 in a row. Really good defense. 10-2. They are a legit Super Bowl contender. When you look at the Super Bowl division, it's Detroit, it's Philadelphia, it's Kansas City, it's Buffalo. I'm going to throw Pittsburgh in there. I know a lot of people don't like Pittsburgh, but Russ is cooking. Pittsburgh's cooking.
Russ is available maybe next year.
You want Russ?
No.
Would you want Russ as a Niner? You accepted Richard Sherman. You would accept Russ.
He is playing good football, though. I'll give him
really good football.
No, I don't want Russ. I don't want Russ.
If Russ signed with the 49ers...
we'd be dangerous.
Would you rather have Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson?
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, it's not even close.
Right? I would rather have Russ. I'd rather have Russ.
Nope.
I'd rather have Russell Wilson. At least Russell Wilson is not going to break apart the locker room.
What are you talking about?
Go look at Pittsburgh.
He ended the freaking dynasty that they thought they had in Seattle.
I watched all the Pittsburgh's press conferences because I like to listen to Tomlin talk. Tomlin's a hell of a talker. Najee Harris, T.J. Watt, Cam Hayward, George Pickens. Those guys swear by Russell Wilson. They swear by him.
Because they've been walking the Kenny Pickett line for so long.
No, you honestly would rather deal with Aaron Rodgers than Russell Wilson?
For one year, yes.
Out of your mind.
Probably, yes.
You're out of your mind.
But you asked me a question beforehand. And it was the hypothetical Trevor Lawrence thing. And look, Brock has played at a higher level than Trevor Lawrence at any point in his career, right? But if it was out there. And again, I don't know what the guarantees are. So, because that kind of skews things. Like, what's the price point on Trevor when you acquire him? I don't know. Because, you know, the way that like, guarantees shake down, you know, Jacksonville might pay portions of his salary. Like, I don't know where it breaks down. I don't love paying him the money, like, at all. I didn't think he deserved the extension in Jacksonville. I know, like, what are you going to do? You got to pay it to him. But, no, you don't. You don't have to pay it to him. He was the number one overall pick. He had certain guarantees already in his contract. He had a fifth-year option. You could have franchise tagged them. Like, I don't know. The business strategy from some of these teams is mind-boggling. That being said, depending on the price point and what it would cost you, yeah, I would look into Trevor Lawrence.
I'm not letting you get away with that. As the segment is sponsored by Golden State Lumber, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed,
you can find a deal.
Let me read the read. They pay money for this. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com.
Go ask for
Kerry, the way you ridiculed and raked Trevor Lawrence over the coals, saying you want nothing. No, I'm not letting you get away with
that. It's like an Andrew Wiggins situation. No, I'm taking a number one overall pick who might need a new spot, and similar to you, I'm buying low on Andrew Wiggins.
You didn't buy
low. I might do the same thing on Trevor
Lawrence. You didn't buy low.
But Bonte, now I'm a mature man, and I've listened, and I've learned from my mistakes, and I'm listening to what the king is telling me.
Spinoni, get in here.
All right, so Trevor Lawrence signed a five-year...
This guy would rather have Rodgers than Russell Wilson.
He signed a five-year, $275 million contract extension with the Jacksonville Jaguars this past offseason, $37.5 million signing bonus, and $200 million of that is guaranteed. Now, the cap hits per year for starting next year, $17 million, $24 million, $35 million. Then in 2028, starts getting really heavy, $47 million. Then there's a potential out in 2029. After that, though, then the cap hits $78
million
and then $74 million. So it's not horrible. The caps, they're really not the next couple of years.
But what are the cash guarantees over the next couple of years? That's the thing that matters to me.
Like the dead cap?
No, just the cash.
No, he's guaranteed. Got most of the guarantees.
Yeah, he's got 200 of it is guaranteed already.
Yeah, he's probably already got that money.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So it's the per year cap hit.
Interesting. I mean, it's a lot more palpable than I thought on the outside looking in.
Well, here's the free agent list of quarterbacks if you do want to move off.
No, I don't want to.
I didn't say you. Yeah, I'm just saying to everybody.
Yeah.
Sam Darnold. Zach Wilson.
I wonder what Sam Darnold.
Trey Lance.
Okay, keep going.
Jacoby Brissett. Taylor Heineke. Marcus Mariota.
This is getting worse.
Drew Lock. Jared Stidham.
Drew Lock fought the other night.
Andy Dalton. Justin Fields.
The Red Rifle.
I'm intrigued with Justin Fields. Joe Flacco.
To do what? Play running back?
No, he can throw spin it. He can spin it. Joe Flacco. Jameis Winston. Oh, here's a name.
Jameis Winston is actually an interesting one.
Just for the sound bites, Jameis.
He might be the greatest roller coaster in sports history.
Yeah, Shanahan's not dealing with that. Come on. Here's the name that I think is realistic. Even in a backup role to start.
Don't say Nick Mullins.
Nope. Can you guess what I'm going to say? I'll let you guys take a guess. Everybody in this room, take a guess.
Daniel Jones.
You haven't mentioned him yet, I'm assuming.
Nope, haven't mentioned him yet. He's going to be a free agent.
He's going to be a free agent, so...
Joe Flacco.
Justin Fields?
Gardner Minshew.
Nope. Mac Jones.
It all comes back to Mac.
No.
Shanahan liked him coming out of the draft. God. You don't think Mac Jones? That's more realistic than any of these guys.
I actually believe in that conspiracy that he actually liked Mac Jones more than Trey Lance, and he was pressured into it. I feel like the media pressured Kyle into taking him.
No, because most of the media wanted Mac Jones. Do you think it's dad, Mike Shanahan?
I have no idea.
Remember we talked to the North Dakota State coach, and he said Mike was at every meeting. Mike was there with the whole ride. Mike Shanahan was on the PJ with Shanahan, Lynch, and everybody.
I think where we're going with all this is you're listing all these things. It is wild how everything's up on the table right now. And I think when you have a lost season, and which is what the Niners are having the season from hell. Yeah. Like, let's just call it what it is, the season from hell. And Purdy's been up and down. He's had some brilliant moments. He's had some down moments. And when you make a financial commitment that we thought they were going to make at the beginning of the year to Brock Purdy, you are locking yourself in for at least a couple of years. Now, I think most of us think they're going to figure out a way to give him a couple of years with some big money. But the talk of like resetting the quarterback market, like, whoa, we're pumping the brakes on all that. I will be the first to admit that I have got everything on the table. And what I mean by everything on the table is I want to see these next five games play out. Can Purdy stay upright? Can he stay healthy? What does he look like with diminished talent around him? Because that could sway me. If he looks great with very little around him, that could reinforce my belief in him. If he looks sketch, if he re-injures himself, because there's some body questions. Today, I'm like, yeah, I would bring in another quarterback, either in the draft or behind. Like, Brandon Allen's not good enough. Josh Dobbs not good enough behind him to push him. You can't have enough quarterbacks. But I'm still not done making assessments on Purdy.
Let's go to Lucky in the City. Lucky, what's happening? You're on the roast.
What's happening, Bonte? Man, look.
What's up, Lucky?
I just got off work, man, and I'm listening to you guys. I know you guys have to, you know, have a topic and whatnot. Y'all driving me crazy. Now, the names that you said as quarterbacks for us? Come on, man. You might as well put me on there, Bonte. Hey, I'm, five, six and a half?
Hey, Lucky.
Come on, man.
Hey, Lucky. This team does have Brandon Allen on the roster, and they do have Josh Dobbs. I know he is. I know he. Hey, listen, I don't like calling people trash, but you know what? I wouldn't have him on my football team. I'll just say that. But Shanahan does, and Shanahan seems to have guys like Nick Mullins and CJ Beathard.
He can win you a game.
Yeah, no, he can't. Lucky, but what's your concern, man? What's your concern with this football team right now?
Health, Bonte, health. And I hear what you guys are saying about Brock Purdy playing in these next few games. Him, Talanoa, Drake Greenlaw, Deamador Lenore, sit them all. Sit them all. Let the rookies, let whoever we got on the team go get, like you said, go get Frank Gore Jr. Bring him on. And if you really want to, I don't know, man, Drew Lock, I guess. Go snatch him up, man. And
just a backup. I'm just looking at backups like Mac Jones, Justin Fields. I would feel a lot better about them backing up Brock Purdy than Brendan Allen.
Why Mac Jones, out of curiosity?
I think Mac Jones has a good arm. I think he hasn't been putting his rookie season, I thought was okay.
It was good.
And Belichick did him a disservice by hiring Matt Patricia and Joe Judge as his offensive coordinator. And that set him back tremendously. Now he's been able to work under Doug Peterson, who, look, Jaguars having a disastrous season, there's no doubt. But at least learn it from Doug Peterson. We know he's a quarterback-friendly coach. I think Mac Jones will take some of that input, and Shanahan does have a quarterback-friendly system. Mac Jones ain't the worst thing in the world. I don't think Mac Jones is that bad. Now, can he start for you 17 games and be on a Super Bowl contending team? I don't know.
As a backup, okay. As a backup, I see your point of view.
I'm going to just make this clear. I'm not trying to replace Brock Purdy right now. I'm trying to build around Brock Purdy. Now, when we get to the price point about what he's worth and everything, I have question marks about that.
Yes.
And you have to be willing to play ball here. So would you get the same production from Mac Jones as you would for Brock Purdy? Probably not. Brock Purdy does some things very well. Pocket awareness is very good, but he has taken a step back.
The ball security's been the biggest issue for me.
Ball security's been bad, very bad. But you don't think Shanahan would say, you know what, let's give Mac Jones a tryout?
If you brought in Mac Jones, for me, you better draft a quarterback simultaneously. Right now, the way the league is set up, you get that emergency quarterback spot. That is a redshirt spot. That guy should be, you should be redshirting someone and developing. And this has been one of my big beefs with Shanahan. He doesn't really want to develop the quarterback.
Now, we think about this. We think about this with Justin Fields, right? Because he's a number name. And I'm intrigued with Justin Fields. I am. I don't know why.
Well, his job.
He did lose. But no, they went to Russell Wilson. And look, it was the right decision. But he did lead the Steelers to a 4-2 record. They were 4-2.
Okay.
And Justin Fields' accountability saying, hey, look, if I put myself in this position to have this job taken away from me because I didn't play my best. And I thought that accountability for Justin Fields, I was like, wow, look at this young man. He's a very mature young man. But he wasn't having a bad season. 5 touchdown passes, 1 interception. Threw for over 1,100 yards. Had 281 on the ground. And when I think about the Shanahan system, he wants to get the